Also appreciate the prayers that we've heard this morning. We've heard some really good prayers. And Aiden this morning with an excellent prayer. And I wanted to talk about just real quickly something that he mentioned, which was walking with God. And then he prayed that God didn't walk with us, but that we stayed with him. And that is just a great thought. And I appreciate him bringing that up and saying that in his prayer. And it goes very well with the idea of authority, that Jesus has the authority and that we are to follow that authority and follow him in what we do. We shouldn't expect God to follow us. And the same thing is true with when we pray. We know God knows our needs and he knows our desires, but we shouldn't expect him to just give us everything just because he knows it. He wants us to ask for those things. He wants us to petition him. And that is the kind of relationship that we have with God. And so as we talk about authority, we need to realize that we are not making demands of God, but that he is making demands of us, and he has every right to do so, and that we have the obligation to obey him. So appreciate those thoughts this morning and everything that we've been a part of this morning. Really appreciate that. Also, just wanted to mention the singing here is outstanding, especially on this side, probably because there's many more people on this side. But the singing has been phenomenal. The song leaders have done a great job. Really appreciate that as well. All right, so now that that's over with, we talked this morning about the authority of Jesus Christ. The first thing we talked about was truth. Understanding what truth is, that it's not subject to your will or your desires, that truth is a solid fact, and that the truth that we're talking about this morning is especially so. The truth which is the Word of God, and that Jesus is that truth. And that if we're going to understand authority, we have to understand that that truth will never and cannot change. And then we talked about attitudes and how our attitudes are going to be essential in understanding and responding to the authority of Jesus Christ. When Jesus tells us something to do in his word, it's our attitude that helps us respond in the correct or the incorrect way. And so we need to make sure our attitudes are right with God. And we spent a lot of time talking about the man in Luke chapter 12 who tore down his barns and built bigger ones. And we talked about other people that have had bad attitudes. But I want us to take a moment here to consider the fact that this idea of having a bad attitude towards the authority of Jesus is nothing new. You know, we've talked a lot about modern day examples, and we see it a lot in our country today. People that want to reject the authorities, the powers that be, whether they be Jesus the Christ or even the teacher at school, people do not want to obey authority. They are free, and that is what this country is built on, is freedom. And they go too far with that, and there is a very particular verse that we're going to look at in just a little bit that talks about freedom and obeying authority. But as we kind of deal with this in our personal lives, I think a lot of times we might get lost and think that we're the first people to deal with this. We're the biggest problem that the world has ever had on dealing with authority. And we have so many problems with young people and even adults today that don't want to respond and respect authority. But I suggest to you that nothing is new under the sun, and that this problem has been one from the beginning of time. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, if you'd like to turn over there, Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, something that we have heard, probably read hundreds of times. God had finished creation. Adam and Eve have sinned. Now in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Do you think that the people in Genesis chapter 6 were respecting the authority of God? No, every thought was only evil continually. These people had completely disregarded the authority of God. In Genesis 18, several chapters forward, Genesis chapter 18 and verses 20 through 21, then the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and their sin is very grave, I will go down there to see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me. And if not, I will know. Of course, we know the story goes on that Abraham pleaded with the Lord, if I can find 10 faithful, will you spare the city? And eventually, I believe it got down to 5, I think, if I'm not mistaken. And he couldn't do it. There was not even 5 people. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Their sin was very grave. These people had completely disregarded the authority of God. This is not a new problem. It might be a relatively new problem for our country. And that might be what makes us feel like we are dealing with this for the first time. But God has been dealing with this since the beginning of time. And the way that He's going to deal with it has not changed. I'm not suggesting that fire and brimstone is going to come and consume the United States of America. But what I am suggesting is that if we disobey God, we will surely die. So I promise that we would talk about some verses that deal with Jesus being the authority, and we will do that this morning. Jesus is the truth, and we know that from the Scriptures. In John chapter 1, Jesus says, "I am the Word." And in the beginning, the Word was with God. Jesus is the truth, the holy words of the Lord, the Bible, the commandments of our God and Savior Christ. But in Colossians chapter 2, look with me there. Colossians 2, verses 8 through 10. We need to make sure that we are not led astray and learn and taught that Jesus is not our authority. It says in Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, "See that no one take you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in Him who is the head of all rule and authority." Jesus Christ is the head of all rule and authority. He is at the top. The very first part of verse 8, "See that no one take you captive by philosophy and empty deceit." People will try to mislead you. People will try to change your mind. What the devil did to Eve in the beginning, she placed a seed of doubt, saying, did God really say that you couldn't eat of this tree? I think what God said was that you could eat of any tree. One little seed of doubt was enough for her to change her mind and forget the authority of God. It doesn't take much. Just one little seed of deceit. And that's exactly what we're warned against. "See that no one take you captive by philosophy and empty deceit." There are a lot of smart people out there. There are a lot of people that are very highly educated that will talk circles around myself and make me feel inferior. There are people that will argue and they have all these $20 words and they've got the fancy suits and they're the ones standing on the podium and they're saying all of this stuff. They've got this big prepared statement and they're saying all these things, and boy, sometimes it's hard to compete. Maybe you're trying to talk to somebody about creation and evolution, and they've got all these dates and scientific facts and they've got all these things. Whew, it's hard to compete with those people, isn't it? "See that no one take you captive by philosophy." Make sure you don't forget that Jesus is the head of all rule and authority. You know, you might not have the answer to every single question. You might not know a retort for every single question. You can find it in the Word of God. And there are many people here. You have a great group of Christians that meet here. Now, there is no argument, I'm sure, that this group of Christians could not find a verse for, could not get together and come to a conclusion on, to study and figure out how to combat that kind of argument. And that's exactly one of the reasons that the church exists, so that we can help each other and support one another. In Matthew chapter 28, we read this morning, Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. If you'd like, okay. But I'd like to set up this verse. It's a short verse. And we learn a lot from this verse. But I think sometimes in reading this, we forget what all has happened prior to Jesus giving this great commission. Right before all of this has happened, Jesus has washed the disciples' feet. He has commissioned the Lord's Supper that we partook of this morning. He has been betrayed by one of His disciples. He's been taken prisoner, arrested. He has been held in a fixed trial. He was scourged. He was crucified. And as He hung on that cross, blood all over Him, the crown of thorns jammed into His head, bruises on His face, a puddle of blood probably beneath Him, scratches all over His back from the cross and from the scourging, He told the apostle whom He loved to take care of His mother. He has then died. He has been placed in a tomb. And then He raised again, defeating death. And Jesus says to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me." Wow. Could you imagine being a disciple and hearing that after knowing exactly what happened? He just died and came back to life. And Jesus says, "All authority has been given to Me. Go out into every nation and teach to every living thing." To be in that time and to hear those words from Jesus the Christ, after being alive during all of those events, I cannot imagine what that must have been like to hear Jesus say that sentence. And the zeal that we see that church spreading the gospel with is outstanding. They turned the world upside down. They spread the gospel like wildfire. Not even the greatest persecution possibly in the history of the church slowed them down. More, it sped them up. Because Jesus had all authority, and that was the commandment that He gave. Now we know that Jesus has all authority. And we know that whatever He says goes. But I think it's also important for us to realize that other people in this world have authority over us, and that is a scriptural thing. In John chapter 19, look with me there. In John chapter 19, before this happening in Matthew chapter 28, we read Jesus is with Pilate. John chapter 19, verse 10, and Pilate said to Jesus, "You will not speak to Me? Do you know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over Me at all unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, he who delivered Me over to you has the greater sin." Jesus recognizing the authority of Pilate. That might blow your mind if you really think about it. This man is saying, "I have the authority to crucify you." And Jesus says, "You have authority." But He's making it very clear. You would not have any authority unless God had given it to you. Further driving the fact, Jesus ultimately has all the authority. Yes, the rulers of this country have authority over us. And yes, we are commanded to obey those rulers. Look with me in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. First Peter chapter 2, verse 13, it says, "Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor or a supreme, or to governors as sent by Him to punish those who do evil and praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance a foolish people. Pause here. Be subject, for the Lord's sake, to every human institution, whether it be the emperor or as supreme or to governors. We are to obey the laws of the land. There are plenty of other verses that we can turn to. Jesus authorizing the payment of tax. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's. We are to obey the laws in the land that we live in. They have authority over us. Children, your parents have authority over you. God says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. They have the authority over you. But no one would have that authority if it wasn't given to them by God. But check out verse 16. This is incredibly important for us today. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. Live as free. We are free today, right? We've talked about that. We are free Americans. Never use your freedom as a cover-up to do evil. The lady that we talked about at the beginning of this lesson who got arrested because she claimed she didn't have to obey the laws. She was saying, I am free. Last long, did it? No, because the person who actually had authority over her dealt justice. That is exactly the situation we're in with God. We have a position in this country to say, I'm free, I don't have to serve God. No one is going to make you serve the Lord. Is holding a gun to your head saying, you will bow down to God whether you like it or not. That's not happening. But we are not permitted to use that freedom to do what we want. We are to fear God, as it says in verse 17. Furthermore, going back to the song that we sung, or that we did not sing, that we read, the title of that song, You Don't Own Me. The whole premise of this lesson changed greatly. It initially started with Jesus died to purchase us. And we haven't really talked about that much this morning. That's how this lesson this morning. Having that type of attitude, you don't own me, who do you think you are? Why should I listen to you? What do I have to do with what you say? Parents, what do we always say? Well, we. What do you always say as parents? I heard this a lot growing up. Why do I have to do that? Because I said so. I'm your parent. You do what I say because I said so. I have authority over you. God could say that. God could say, you're going to do what I say because I said so. But he has a lot more to say about it than that. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, look with me there. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. It says, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he, that is Jesus, obtained with his own blood. Jesus purchased the church with his blood. The sacrifice that we remember just moments ago was the purchase price that he paid for every single one of us. He owns us. We can't sing that song. He bought us with his blood. We cannot have that attitude in our heads. And sometimes we hear the saying, dead to rights, right? I own you, I have you dead to rights. We hear that all kinds of things. A lot of times sporting events, you know, they get so far down, they're just beaten down so hard, they are dead to rights. They have lost this game, they might as well surrender. We see it in all kinds of competition-based things, right? We're not in a competition with the Lord, but he has us dead to rights. We were lost in sin. We were separated from God. We had no hope. And while we were yet sinners, the Bible tells us that Christ died for the ungodly. And that is you and me. In Revelation chapter 5, the last verse we'll look at this morning, Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Jesus Christ has ransomed us, a people for God. Let's be that people for God. Let's recognize the authority of our Savior Jesus Christ and worship Him and serve Him. Remember to have that attitude that we talked about, the attitude that Christ had, willing to sacrifice and put God ahead of our own desires. I appreciate your attention this morning. I appreciate the recognition of Jesus' authority that we have seen this morning. That we have come out here as Jesus has said to do. We have worshipped Him. We have remembered Him. We've praised Him. There's no doubt in my mind that you being here, you recognize Jesus' authority. But if in fact, maybe you have not been baptized. Maybe you haven't quite made that commitment to God. And you want to do that this morning. Maybe you have already done that. So many times, I've sat through countless invitation songs. I have been a Christian since I was a young guy and younger. And I have been to church my whole life. I don't know how many invitation songs I've sat through. So many times have I sat there and thought, you know what, so-and-so should probably go forward. I know so-and-so's not a Christian yet. I hope they go get baptized. Consider yourself today. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. I don't care how long you have been walking through these doors to worship God. Consider your life. Are you walking faithfully? Are you dedicated to God like you know you should be? If you need to make a change, make a commitment now. If you want to do that publicly, that's great. If it's something you just need to do within yourself, between you and God, make that commitment to serve God faithfully. If we can help you with that, we'd be happy to, as we stand and as we sing.